Begin the current daf Masechtas, but Metzia daf Mem Beis. Begin on the top of the Amud. The Gemara continues the theme of the previous Mishnayos of this Perek, which the title of the Perek is called Perek HaMafkid, which talks about the halachas of when someone deposits an object of his by somebody else to safeguard, to watch. So the Mishnah discusses the following halacha. HaMafkid Mois Itzel Chaver. If someone deposits money by his friend, now Tsarun, now the Shemer goes and bundles up that money in his kerchief, and then he throws it over behind his back, that's how he holds the bundle, where he gives it over, this money that he's supposed to watch, to his minor son or daughter, and he locks the door in front of them, but not appropriately, that they won't be able to get out. So then the shemer is going to be liable in these two cases. He didn't watch and safeguard the money the way people usually watch. Throwing the money, as the Gemara will explain, although you're holding it, but since behind your back, not in your hand, that's not considered a valid shmir. And so too, giving over to little kids to watch, if you didn't lock the door in front of them, that they can go out and just ruin the money, that's not considered valid. But, says the Mishnah, but if he watched it the way Shem usually watch it, and then something happens, then he's going to be exempt because he did his job of safeguarding the money. Now the Gemara asks, we could understand all the other cases, specifically that in our Mishnah, which is when he gave it to his little kids to watch. So he didn't watch it the way people usually watch. So that's why he's going to be liable. But the Gemara asks, what's the problem with the guy who bundled up the money in a kerchief and then put it behind his back? What should he have done? He put in the bundle, he kept it in a secure place. Why is that considered shalei shomer kederech hashemrim? Why is he liable in that situation? So Marava Amar B'Yitzchak, he says, because Amakra, the Pasuk says in the Varm, in a different context, in halacha of when someone redeems his Meiser produce, instead of bringing that up to Yerushalayim, the Meiser Sheni, he then redeems it onto money, and then takes up the money to Yerushalayim, and then consumes produce with money with produce that he purchases over there with the Meiser money. So the Pasuk in the Varm says, V'tzarta kesev yadecha, you'll bundle the money in your hand, and you'll bring that up to Yerushalayim. Now the drasha is that it's coming to say that the term of bitzarta is avapishet tsururin, even though you bundled up the money, yiyu biyodecha, it should be in your hands. In other words, it's only considered appropriate safeguarding if you're holding it in your hands, not if you then put the bundle behind your back. That's considered negligent, and therefore chayiv if he does that for shmira. Related teachings also from Rabbi Yitzchak, says the Gemara of Amar Yitzchak. Rabbi Yitzchak says another related teaching. A person's money should always be available in his hand. In other words, he shouldn't deposit his money with someone else in a faraway place, because if, let's say, it happens where he can get purchase merchandise to make money, to make a profit, he should have money available to make that purchase. Shenema, like it says, and he quotes the same pasuk, "Vitzarta kesa biyadecha," that the money should be bundled in your hand. You should have your money available in your hand so that when an opportunity arises, you have cash to go ahead and buy the item. Another related teaching from Amar B'Yitzchak. B'Yitzchak says, La'olam yashlish adam es ma'asav. A person should always split his money into threes. Shlish b'karka, a third he should invest in real estate, in land. V'shlish b'pragmatia, a third in merchandise. V'shlish tachas yadei, and a third to have available cash, liquid cash, so that, again, the same concept that if something, an opportunity comes up, that he should be able to have a quick sale. He has to be able to have the money available, so therefore he should have at least a third of available cash. Another teaching from V'Amar B'Yitzchak, B'Yitzchak says, "Ein habracha mitzuya," blessing, which means to say that the increase from itself, from the item, where it itself increases, that's only found ele b'davah hasamim in the ayin, only by something that is hidden from the eye. It's where if it's not discernible by the person's eye, which is a concept related very much to quantum mechanics, the idea about how things change when we see it. So the blessing from internally, that somebody could be blessed and have productivity, that's only something that's hidden from the eye. Shnei, like it says a pasuk in the Varm, it says, Yitzav Hashem itcha esabrocha ba'asamecha, that Hashem will command for you His blessing in your silos. Now, the drasha is the asamecha is the word also samoy, which is expounding this concept that the blessing that Hashem will command for you is only if it's samoy min ayin, if it's hidden from the eye. So to relate a tana de Bishmol, the story in the Brayse of Yeshiva Bishmol, In the bracha mitzuyah, the blessing is not found. Only for something that the eye doesn't rule over it. Again, that same concept, which is when it's discernible by human eyes, then it takes on a more physical element, but blessing could happen if it's not controlled by the human eye. Shnemelik says, in the pasuk, he quotes the same pasuk, but he translates it literally. Yitzav Hashem itcha esa brocha besemech, Hashem will command for you the blessing in your silos, meaning in your hidden places, which is what the silo is. It's not places that, these are the places where you conceal things, where people don't usually are there. Those are your hidden storage places. That's where the blessing is. Again, that same concept. So a related discussion regarding this, that blessing happens before it's beholden by the human eye. So Taran Ban Lin Nabrai said, Ha'hoylech lomid es garnoi. Someone that's going to measure his silo. He wants to know how much grain he has. So I mean that he says, and he has to know because he has to be able to do business with it. So before he goes, he says, Yiratze mulfanach Hashem lekeinu, should be the will in front of you, Hashem our God. Shetishlech brocha b'masa yedeinu, you should send blessing in the handiwork of our hands. Now, hischol lomid, I mean, when he's starting to measure, but he didn't measure it yet, then he says, Baruch Hashelech brocha b'kriyazeh, blessed is the one who sends blessing in this pile. Now, madad v'achkech berich, if he measured already and then he blesses, again, the concept of blessing is that there should be increase in the elements, which is, we're pointing out this idea that blessing is only things which are not counted, not measured, not beholden by the human eye. So, but if he measured and then he blessed, ha'reza tefilashav, so that is a prayer in vain. And the reason is, lefisha ina bracha mitzuyah, because blessing is not found, lebedavar shakal, not by something that is weighed, v'lebedavar mavad, not something that's measured, v'lebedavar mana, not something that's counted, elebedavar samim min ha'ayin, only something that is covered from the eye. Shnem, like it says in the pasuk we quoted, Yitzav Hashem itcha es habrocha basemech, Hashem will command a blessing in your silos. Again, that concept where if one did not yet count it, then Hashem could then increase it because it's some in the ayin. It didn't yet take on the physical dimension. Once it's counted, then that is a blessing in vain because now it's already concretized in the physical domain and it is what it is. Now the Gemara continues with the concept of our Mishnah regarding the required shmira necessary when someone gives a deposit of money to his friend. Samar Shmuel says, Kisafim, monies, elhem shmira el bakarka, only has an appropriate watching, safeguarding, if it's in the ground. In other words, if he didn't watch it in the ground and it gets stolen, so then it's considered negligent and he's going to be chayv. Now, Amar Rava, but Rava says, Umeidi Shmuel, Shmuel agrees and admits, but Erev Shabbos Bein Hashmashas, if someone got a deposit from his friend, let's say right before Shabbos, oh yeah, I'm running, it's almost Shabbos, it gives him here, watch this money for me. Then the rabbis did not require to the shomer, the watchman, that one who's safeguarding, should have to exert himself right before Shabbos to go ahead and start burying stuff. And therefore, he's not going to be chayv if it gets stolen over Shabbos if it wasn't buried in the ground. But v'ishal l'matzah Shabbos, but if he delayed on after Shabbos, Shir lemikverinu, v'lekverinu, for the amount of time that it would take to bury the money, and he didn't bury it, and then it was stolen, then he would be liable, because then he should have buried it right after Shabbos. But, v'tzuvim rabbanhu, but if the one who deposited the money with him is a Talmudic scholar, who they're what's called charedim, they're very, very worried, very concerned about the mitzvah of Havdalah, to separate between Shabbos and the weekday, to make it specifically on a cup of wine, and he's going to need to purchase that wine, So then the shomer could say that I thought that Dilma Mibayale Zuzil Avdalta, that maybe he needs the money to purchase wine for Avdalah, and that's why I didn't bury it, and then therefore even if it gets stolen, the amount of time it could have buried it right after Shabbos, he's going to be Pater. And the reason being is because he could claim that he didn't bury it because he thought that the Talmud Chacham is going to need the money for Avdalah. Now, however, although Shmuel said that the halacha is that the only way of protecting money and watching it is by burying in the ground, but Ve'inna says the Gemara, but now, the Shechichi Gesheshuai, that there are those people that they tap around on the ground with an iron spit, and because they stick it into the ground to realize where is there a hole, where is there a cavity underneath the ground, to realize where people buried their money, then Ein Lehem Shmira, then that will not be an appropriate Shmira, Ela B'Shmei Kaira, only in the right below the roof, that's where one would have to hide money. But, says the Gemara, but now that there are those who break through roofs because they know people hide money in the roof, then the only protection of money would be between the bricks of the wall. Now, Amar Rava, and Rava says, Shmuel agrees by a wall that that would be considered an appropriate shmirah. Now, but says the Gemara, but now that there are those who tap the walls to know, wait, where is there a space in the wall, a cavity, because they know that people bury the money, that they hide the money in the wall, then the money will not be protected, Ella, only betefach asamach lekarka, only in the wall, the tefach that's nearest, closest to the ground, or the tefach in the wall that's closest to the roof. So you can't put it in the roof itself because they check there. You can't put it in the ground because they check there. You can't put it in the wall because they check there. You put it all the way in the bottom of the wall or all the way on the top of the wall where there they're not so adept at checking, and that's going to be the place where the shmirah for the money would be. Now, however, regarding this halacha of Shmuel that one has to bury it in the ground, the Gemara qualifies what is considered burial in the ground. Amalei Rav Acha b'Reider Rav Yisrael Rav Ashi says, Hasim Tnan, there in the Mishnah Masechet Pesachim we learned that chametz shenafal of ma'pailas, regarding chametz where there's an Isra Bal Yirua Bal Yimatzi, not allowed to see chametz on Pesach that is owned by the Jewish person. Now, on that says the Mishnah that regarding chametz, leavened bread, that a wall collapsed on top of it, so it says the Mishnah Ariyu Kumavur. So that's like what's called beer chametz. It's like you already burnt it up and you don't have to go ahead and burn it anymore. And the reason being is because it's not visible, there's no Bal Yirua because you can't see it, it's buried under the pile of rubble. Now, Reb Shimon Gamliel Omer, he says that the qualification of this halacha is kol she'en akelav yochel chapas acharav. The fact that it's buried underneath something has to be the amount of burial that a dog will not be able to dig after it and get it. Because if the dog does, then it's going to come out and pull it out on Pesach and you can have your chametz back there again. So if a ton of learning the brayos, like kama chafisas akelav, how much is it that a dog would be able to dig to bury to get the chametz out? Gimel tzvachim. Three tefachim, if it's three tefachim, then it's okay, that's considered burial, and that's you don't have to do beer chametz on that anymore. And that says the Gemara Hachamai. Over here, regarding the safeguarding of money, what is the halacha? Me being the shlesh tefachim, I lie. Do we need to say that it's considered buried only with three tefachim, or do you not need three tefachim? So Amalei, so Ravashi responded to Ravacha Breda of Yosef, he said, Hasim over there by the halacha of chametz in the Mishnah Masech Pesachim is mishmereiches because of the aroma, because of the smell, being the gimel tefachim. That's why you need three tefachim, because the dog is able to smell, use its nose and smell where there's chametz, and it's going to dig after it, and it's going to pull it out, and then you're going to see the chametz, which is problematic. That's why you need three tefachim. Hacha mishum ichsuye me'ena, here where it's just to cover from the visibility of the human eye, lebein gimel tefachim, you don't need three tefachim. Nothing to do with smell. It's just, you don't smell the money, it's that you see it, once it's covered, it's good. For common, how much is that? Amaraf from Misichra, which is the name of the place, it came from Sichra, tefach, it's as long as it's covered, a buried amount of a tefach, that's already enough, of considered buried, where according to Shmuel, that was the primary halacha of what's considered shmira by money. So now the Gemara brings many different incidents regarding these halachas, regarding safeguarding someone else's deposit, what's considered appropriate shmira, and what's a liability. So the Gemara says, "Hu gavra da'afkid zuzi gabe chaver." There was a person that had deposited money by his friend, which that's a topic we're discussing regarding pekadon of money. Now, izvinu bitzrifa. Now, the guy who was watching it put it into a hut. Now, specifically, it's one of these small types of huts that are round like a hat, which that's what the bird hunters would make to capture the birds in. So this guy put it into this hut, the urvini that was made out of willows. And Ignif, it was stolen, that money that he was watching, that he put into these bird hunters' huts, that it was the money was stolen from there. So Amar Rav Yosef is as follows. Now there's two Lashanis, there's two different versions of Rav Yosef with opposite halachas, and these are the halachas that we mentioned all over. That's actually what we say is these two different opinions are these two different versions of Rav Yosef. So Rav Yosef says, Avagav dil inyan ganavi niterusahi, although regards to theft, it's considered protected, meaning because even if it's not buried, because thieves don't usually go there to steal money because you don't usually find money in these huts. So although regarding theft, it's protected, but in the newer Pishayusi, regarding fire, it's a negligence because fire, these huts are very easily flammable and there's fire that's accessible over there. It's very easily that it could have gone up in smokes. So therefore, says Rav Yosef, have a tchilasa b'pshia. This is what's known as the beginning of what this guy did by putting money in these huts is a negligence, because maybe a fire could have happened over there, and that would have been a negligence that he didn't bury it. Now, ultimately, it did not come about the loss through his own negligence. It came about through something beyond his control, because it was stolen. in regards to a Shemer Chinam who watches for free, theft is considered something beyond his control because regarding his amount of liability, he didn't have to be responsible for Geneva. So it's considered Einus. So says Rav Yosef Chayev, although it ended up being an Einus, but since it started off as a Pshia, Tchelas of Pshia, B'Seif of Einus, is Chayev, and therefore he's liable. Now, the Igadam, there are those who say an opposite a version of Rav Yosef. That Avagav didn't know Rav Pshia, he says Rav Yosef, even though it regards to fire, it's considered negligence, but let any gan vini to Rusi, but regarding theft, it's considered protected because thieves don't usually go over there. If it's chilas of b'shiva seva b'oynis, pater. And if it starts off as a negligence, ends off as an oynis, so the halacha is going to be pater. Those are the two different opinions we always say, but according to the one that says chilas of b'shiva seva b'oynis is chayim or pater, those are the two different versions in Rabbi Yosef's own halacha. And concludes the Gemara, v'hilchas of the halacha is chilas of b'shiva seva b'oynis is chayim. If it started off because of a negligence, although ultimately, subsequently, it was lost through a oynis, still, you're going to be chayiv because of the elementary component of it being a negligence. So the Gemara continues, Hahu gavra, the afkid zuzi gabi chavra. Again, a similar case with some of the deposited money by his friend. Amalei havli zuzoi, so the guy who gave the deposit later came back and says, give me back my money. So Amalei, so the Shemesh says, lay it down, hey chazvin, I don't know where I put it. I'm sorry, nothing happened to it, probably. I just don't know where in my house it is. So Asli came to Rabba, so they came in front of Rabba. So Amalei, so he said, Kol lo yadano, whenever someone says, I don't know, Pshiyusi, that's a negligence. What do you mean you don't know? You had the responsibility, you were watching, you should know, and therefore Zil Slim, go ahead and pay. You have to pay. That's considered a negligence, which even the Shemer Chinam is chayav on. Again, another case of Ahu Gavr the Afkid Zuzi Gebechaber. A certain person deposited money by his friend. Ashleminu, this guy who was watching it, gave it over Le'ime to his mother. And his mother put it into a box. V'igniv, and it was stolen from his mother. So Amar Rava says, how should judges judge this case? If we tell to him, to the guy who was the shamer, go ahead and pay up the guy who gave it to you because now it's lost. Now, why would it be chayiv? Because what's known as shamer shemus l'shamer is chayiv. A shamer who gives it over to someone else, I didn't trust that other person. I trusted you. You gave it up to someone else. Here, you gave it to your mother. I didn't give it to your mother. So a shemer that gives it over to another shemer is chayiv. On that, Amar, but then the shemer is going to say, as we continue to him in Beis, that's not true. Because kol ha-mafkid, whoever deposits money or anything with somebody else, al das ishti ubanav hu mafkid, we say, although he can't give it over to a random shemer, but he understands that if a guy is not an island unto himself, he lives with a wife and with children and with a family and with parents, and he gives it with that intention that he knows that the shemer is going to give it over and not hold himself back from having his family members, his older children, or his mother, who are trustworthy for him, to go ahead and deposit it with it, and therefore that is legitimate that he gave it over to his mother. So that wouldn't be a liability because of shemer shemus l'shemer to make him chayiv. So therefore, he's exempt. Now, namely, le'imi zil shlimi. So if we're going to tell his mother, go ahead and pay, and the reason is because she was negligent, because why'd you put it in a box? You should have buried it. As we said, regarding halachas of shmira, the only way of protecting money is in the ground or in a wall. So Amr, she's going to say, what do you mean? What, I should be negligent? My son didn't tell me that it's not his money, that I should bury it. Every time my son gives me money, I'm not burying it. I put it in the box in the house. I didn't know if I was a shomer or shomeres, I would have known, I would have put it in the ground. But I didn't know, he didn't tell me that. So therefore, I'm not negligent. Now, namely, so if we're going to go back to the son and tell him, well, amayloi amritlo, well, then why don't you tell your mother that it was not your money, then she would have protected it appropriately, that it's your negligence that you didn't tell your mother, and therefore you're liable. Amri's going to say, no. Kol shekein, all the more so. Because when I tell her it's my own money, then she's going to be more careful. She cares more about my money than someone else's money. So that's not a negligence of mine that I didn't tell my mother that it's not my money. And therefore, that's not a reason why I should be chayiv. So who's going to pay back this mafkid for his lost money? So Elamar Rabba, rather Rabba says, so mishtabeyu ihu, so the shemer swears the hanu zuzi ashlemin alime. He first swears that he gave it over to his mother, which he's allowed to, because when you give a deposit to somebody, you know that his family members are part of that whole equation. Now, then his mother swears that she then put that money in the box, which was stolen from the box, and she's exempt. Because, again, she's not liable because her son didn't tell it to someone else. And he's not negligent for not telling her because he thought that she would protect it. And therefore, none of them have a liability, and therefore, by swearing to that effect, they're both going to be exempt. Another related story, Hahuha Batrapa de Yasmi. There was a caretaker of orphans, the Zevanahu Turli Yasmi, that purchased an ox for the orphans, Umashi Labakra, and then he gave it over to a herdsman, to someone that watches animals. Now, Lehavale Kichi Vishini Lamechal. Now, unbeknownst to the people, the ox that was bought by the apotropis for the assignment that he then gave over to the bakra didn't have any teeth or molars, it wasn't able to chew, and therefore wasn't able to eat. Umis, and then the animal died in the herd. So Amram Muhammad said, Heichen edayin edayin l'haydina. How should the judges judge this case? As follows. Namely, apotropis zilshlim, if we tell the caretaker, go ahead and pay, you were negligent. You had this animal that doesn't eat, and you bought it for the orphans, it's you lost their money. So Amay is going to say, my fault? It's not my negligence. Do I know anything about animals? I gave it over to the herdsman, to the guy who watched the animals. He should have told me that the animal's not eating. It's his fault. But I'm not responsible. I got someone to do the job. So namely, Labakri Zilshlim, if we're going to tell the one who watches animals that he should pay, because yeah, it's his fault. You should have known that the animals, that it was dying. So Amay, he's going to say, no. What I do, I put amongst all the other oxen. I threw food to all the animals. I didn't know the animal doesn't eat. It's not my responsibility. You gave me animals, I put amongst the herd. I give it food. I don't check each one, open up their mouth and see how much teeth it is. How should I have known? That's not my negligence. Now, on that, the Gemara asks, Mechti, wait a second. Let's see, how do we understand that concept? Bakara, this one who watches the animals, Shemir Sacher Diasmihu. He watches and he gets paid for what he's watching. It's a profession, and he's a Shemir Sacher of the orphans. So he should have checked in to see if it's eating or not. Because there is a higher level of Shmira of liability by a Shemir Sacher who's getting paid. So then, yeah, you should have checked to make sure that the animal that you're watching is eating. And if not, then you should have notified them. And the fact that it died because it didn't eat is the negligence of the Bakar. Why is it the way we're saying it that he would be exempt? So that the Gemara answers that you're right. If this case would be that the way it would come out is there would be a loss for the orphans, that their ox died, then hochanami. Then that would be the case that then the Bakar, since it's a Shemir Sacher of the orphans, would have to compensate them. But then the way we're talking about this case is that there is no loss for the orphans. Why? Because they ended up finding the seller who the apotropis bought the ox for the orphans from. They found the owner of the ox. And the orphans ended up collecting their money. They got a refund for the money from the ox that they bought from him because they told him, this was an erroneous, mistaken purchase because you sold us an animal without any teeth. He's like, I did. I'm so sorry. He gave them back the money. And therefore, since there's no loss for the orphans, therefore, though, yes, the Bakar is a Shemir Sacher for the orphans, and if it would have been for them and loss, he would have had to compensate them, but there is no loss for them because they got their money back. So then the Gemara continues, so Eleman Katoim. So who is the claimant over here that Rav Bacham is saying, so how should we judge and litigate this case? There is no claimant. So that the Gemara says, Mari de Tura Katoim. No, the case is talking about that the owner of the ox, the seller, is the one that's coming with a claim now in court, and he's saying that he's coming to the apotropis and he's saying, I sold the ox to you. I gave it by you, and it's by you that the animal died. So I had to refund the money back to the orphans, but I'm holding you responsible because you were the one that purchased it, and you're liable for the fact that now my animal died. And the reason being is because the apotropis should have notified us, the owners of the ox, the sellers, that this animal wasn't eating and that it was dying. On that, the Gemara asks, my Medina lay. What do you mean? What does that mean? He's claiming of apotropis that the caretaker should have told the sellers the circumstances. Meida yada de mekechtois hava. He knew that it was a mistaken purchase. He's the owner of the animal. He knew that animal didn't have any teeth. So what is he holding the apotropis responsible? It's the owner's own fault because they sold an animal without any teeth. So that the Gemara answers, no, we're talking about besafsira. The seller is a guy who is a day trader. He buys and he sells animals in the marketplace, and he just flips animals. On the day that he buys it, he sells it. Dezavin mahacha umaz ben halacha, where he buys from here and he sells from here, and therefore he didn't know if it has teeth. He barely sees the animal. He bids 100, he goes somewhere else to the other corner, and he starts selling it, and he sells it for double the price. So that's the type of guy that we're talking about, and therefore he didn't know, and therefore he has a claim to the upper trumpets saying, you know, it's you should have told me, you should have notified me why. So Hilkach, therefore, Mishtabeya Ihu, so the Safsira, this seller, who is this merchant, he swears to have a yada. He swears he didn't know that it didn't have teeth. Umishalim Bakara, and then the herdsman he pays, because the apotropis is not liable, because he gave it over to the Bakara. So then the Bakara pays Dimei Basar Bezel. He compensates the owner how much would be the value of cheaper meat. Now, first Rashi actually addresses an important question. How did Rambam Chama know this halacha? What does the safsira, the seller, have to do with the shepherd, who is not the shomer to have liability as a shomer sacher of the safsira? He was the shomer sacher of the yisaimim. Now the yisaimim, they don't have any complaints to him because they got compensated from the one who sold it to them, that they got a refund. So how could the safsira go ahead and collect from the roya? So that Rashi says, based on the Mishnah that we had on the Aflam and Hema Beis, that if someone rented a cow from his friend, and then he lent it to somebody else, and then it died in its normal way, where Biyisi said that the shoyel has to give back the value of the cow to the original owner, not to the guy that he borrowed it from, which the halacha actually is like Biyisi, and therefore we see from that halacha that even though the owners of the animal were not the guys who had anything to do with the borrower, but since the one who rented it from the owner, who he is the one that litigates with the one who borrowed it from him, is not missing out on anything because he's actually exempt from compensating the owner because it was an oinus, because it died in its normal way, and he's exempt from oinus. So even so, since that there is a court case against the shayel, because the shayel is chayav oinus when it dies in its normal way, so then the halacha we see from Biyisi is that the original owner stands in the place of the seicha and they collect from the shayel. So that's the same concept over here, that we find that since the orphans would be able to collect from the shepherd, because he's the shomer sacher of the orphans, so although they got their refund, they're okay, they don't have any complaints, but the original owner will take the place of the Simon and collect. Now, however, as the Gemara told us, that if there would have been a loss for the orphans, then he would have had to pay to them. That Rashi says, then the halacha of Ram Vachama would not be the way it's said over here, this compromise, where then to pay this cheaper price, which we call Basar Bezail, because orphans are not b'nei mechila, not able to forgive, which therefore the shepherd would have had to pay the full value of the loss. But now that it's where the bakara, the herdsman, was paying back to the original owners, and there's not really so much of a negligence of the bakara, because as the Gemara said before, that he says, what do you mean, it's not my fault, I put it amongst all the animals, how should I have known? So he said, but ultimately, yes, but he is a shomer sacher. But again, he's not the shomer sacher of the Baal Mershayim, only of the orphans where he's not having a court case with. And therefore, Rambam Chama made somewhat of a compromise, and they say you don't have to pay the whole value of the ox as it is when it was alive. Rather, the hide he gives back to the original owners, and the meat is evaluated where he pays 2/3 of the price. Because whenever the Gemara says that you paid bezail, a cheaper price, it's going to be 2/3 of the value, and that's the compromise that Rambam Chama said will be the halacha in this case, that the bakara will pay to the original owners 2/3 of that value. Another related story, Ahu Gavra, the Afkid Kishusaga Bechavi, there was a certain person that deposited hops, certain types of grain that are put into beer, he deposited by his friend. Now, Havali Lididei, Namikari Dikshusa. Now, the Shomer himself also had his own pile of hops. Now, Amalei, the homeowner, meaning the shomer, told Lasarse, he told to his the person that works for him and that oversees the operation in his house, who makes his beer, he told him, Mahai Rami. He pointed to his own pile of hops, and he said, from this pile, I want you to go ahead and put into the beer that we're making. Now, Azal Rami Me'idach. Now, however, this appointee went and actually took the deposit, the one of the mafkid's hops, and put into the beer. So Amar Vamram, again, the same phraseology, Rav Amram said, Hechen edayin edayon lahaydina. How should judges judge this case? Name leila didei zil shlim, if we'll tell to the shomer himself, go ahead and now you went and used and create a loss for the mafkid from his hops because you put into your beer, go ahead and compensate him. So Amri's going to say, what do you mean? No, Amri lei mehai rami. I told this guy to put in from this. That's not my fault. I didn't put it into the beer. It was the guy who works for me that did it. I told him to put in from mine. Namely, Lasar says Yishlim. If we're going to tell now, then the appointed guy who works, who he put in, he took the shamer, he took the mafkid's hops and put into the shamer's beer, and we say, okay, so you're going to have to compensate him. He's going to say, what do you mean? My employer didn't tell me take from this and not from that. I thought he said take from this, but he didn't say not from that. So if I took from that too, and if it's not my fault, it's not my negligence that I took from that. It's not my liability. Now, on that, the Gemara asks that if the pile of hops of the Shemer's own pile was close by to where they were having this conversation, and the hops from that were deposited by him were far away, so the Gemara asks, v'idisha, if the shliach, if this the worker delayed a certain amount of time, lasugile, to bring the hops, which was already past the amount of time that it takes if he was bringing the hops from nearby, v'loyaisileni, didn't bring it yet. So ask the Gemara, so goli adaiti, so that the homeowner then revealed his intention, albeit passively, dinichale, that he was okay with the worker bringing the mafkid's hops, because he knew that he was bringing the hops that were deposited, because he knew that it shouldn't take that amount of time. And if he didn't protest, so then obviously he was acquiescing, and therefore he should be chayv in that situation. So the Gemara says, you're right, it's toma b'deloisha, that he didn't delay, where they were right near each other and they both would take the same amount of time, and therefore he didn't know that he was bringing from the deposit and not his own stuff. So therefore, he could say he's exempt, and the guy who worked for him could say he's exempt. But the Gemara asks, but save Saif, at the end of the day, my psedik, what loss is there? But the shamer, he gained by using the hops of the deposit, which was put into his own beer, which therefore his own hops are still around, and he should have to pay from his own hops back to the mafkid for his hops. I mean, we're saying, it sounds like they both are saying they're exempt. And there would be, he would swear they'd both be exempt, and the guy wouldn't get anything back. And I was asking, but why? Ultimately, the shomer gained from the hops of the mafkid, so therefore he should at least have to compensate him from his own hops, which that's the halach in general, when someone has enough from some of those things, he's liable. So on that, Amr Absama Bered the Rabbi says, no, actually, the hop is shichur chala. We're talking about where the beer turned sour, and if he didn't have any hanah from the hops of the mafkid, and therefore, again, he didn't have hanah, and he's exempt because he told him, and he didn't tell him the wrong thing. So therefore, he's exempt, and the one who works for him is exempt. Rav Asher, he gives a different answer. He says, b'chisei. We're talking about where the hops of the mafkid were inferior because they had thorns that were mixed into the hops, which didn't improve his beer of the shomer, of the balabais, the way he wanted it. And therefore, it's actually bad for him that the owner, that his worker had put in the mafkid's hops into his beer. But however, it's good to talk about Mem Gimel Alf. So therefore, Mishamle Dmei Chisei. So therefore then he pays the mafkid the value of hops that have thorns according to how much it did make his beer a little bit better. It's not so good, he really didn't want it. Now he's got thorns mixed in over there. But ultimately the hops that were there improved it a little bit. So although he doesn't have to pay the full value of the hops, because again, regarding liability, he's exempt because he says it wasn't my fault. I told my worker from this and he took from the wrong one. And the worker says, not my fault because he didn't tell me not to take from it. So both of them are exempt. But that's regarding the halachas of Shmira, but then regarding the halachas of having hanah from someone else's things, which then you have to compensate it. So the first answer said there was no hanah whatsoever because it went sour. Second answer says that it wasn't a real good hanah, but there was a small value of hanah, how much it would be with thorny types of hops. Regarding that value of the hanah, that's what the shomer would have to compensate to the mafkid for the loss of his hops.